Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. We have an email here that was sent to us at kgovlive@aol.com. You can find us on the web, by the way, at kgov.com. And recent shows, 24 hours a day. Download the MP3s and listen to them at your convenience. This is from an investigator, a detective, a police detective. And I won't give his location out, the department he works for. But he emailed us here at KGov Live, subject, God's Criminal Justice System. That sounds familiar. Yeah, we've done a seminar by that title. In fact, we have it for sale on audio tape. We've done these seminars all over the country from Honolulu to Pittsburgh. And so here, so this is interesting. This is an email from a police detective about our God's Criminal Justice System seminar. And this was just printed out for me. So let's see what it says. Dear Bob, I recently went to a homicide school and the instructor, and I won't give the instructor's name, is a retired Miami Police Department homicide cop. He made reference to the Bible in his class briefly, and he spoke about his dad being a Baptist minister. Hey, that's pretty cool. So I figured I could approach him and give him your God's Criminal Justice System album. He called today and said that he was up to tape number 6, the seminar. All our seminars on tape come in 6 tapes. He called today and said he was on tape number 6 and that he loves them. He said he was going to use some of it in his classes. Cool, huh? Signed, so-and-so police detective. Yeah, I'd say that's cool. That's totally cool. I like that. The Bible is a criminal justice textbook. The Bible begins and ends with issues of the death penalty, and the whole story about Jesus Christ being crucified, being put to death in judgment to pay the just demand for sin. The gospel of Jesus Christ is at the heart of it. It's a death penalty story. And so those liberal Christians who are opposed to the death penalty, they're ignorant about this. They don't realize it, but they undermine the gospel when they oppose the death penalty. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Frontline recently did a special. They were in Yemen, and they were talking to Yemenis citizens about Al-Qaeda. And it was a significant percentage of the general population appeared to be extremely supportive of Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and terrorism in general. And they spoke to one very eloquent, very pretty young woman, and she was talking about her deep commitment to Al-Qaeda and how she just, I forget if she said she shed tears of joy on 9/11 when America was attacked, 3,000 people were killed by suicide terrorist murderers. And she said that she would give her time, her money to Al-Qaeda, and if she could give nothing else, she would bear some children and raise up some boys to fight in the jihad. And what's interesting about that frontline version, that frontline production, is that it shows that generally the Bush administration has been a bit too optimistic in its statements that the terrorists are only these extreme fringe members of Islam. And so there's a debate You know, there's a debate which version of Islam is the truest picture of that religion. Is it the terrorist version of Islam? Is that true Islam? Or is it the peaceful religion of some of its adherents? Which is true Islam? And I actually don't think that's the best way to get to the heart of the issue, because the Quran is not the revealed word of God. The Quran is the false teachings of Muhammad. And so the Quran itself is not necessarily even internally consistent. It might be more effective to ask which version of Islam would Muhammad have sided with, or maybe more significant today, what percent of Muslims support the different views of Islam? That's probably the most significant. And of course, we recall here at Bob and Yurt Live, and I was talking about this with somebody at Denver Bible Church Sunday. I have the honor of pastoring Denver Bible Church. And we remember that many throughout the Arab world, many Muslims cheered on September 11th, cheering for the murderers. So it's clear that this is a major problem far beyond what the Bush administration has admitted. But I think one of the things that we can do is that we should do is we should begin to view Christian missionaries as national security workers. Christian missionaries in other countries preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, the liberals, of course, mock missionaries. And even conservatives on average don't give missionaries their due. But Christian missionaries, really, their work is very significant for the security of the United States. Because there are, what, over a billion Muslims in the world. And there is this growing ideology that they would like to destroy any country that interferes or any influence that interferes with their desire to take over the countries and the governments of the world. So we've been moving steadily toward this conflict with Islam. It's been predicted by many people over the years, and it's happening. So Christian missionaries, they really are national security workers. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. In Indianapolis, Larry, speak your mind.
How you doing, Bob? You know, I listen to you, look forward to you every evening. When you say about Islam cheering for their murderers, we cheer for ours, too.
All right, well, hold on, Larry. We'll go to the break, and we'll come right back to you. Listener-supported radio right here, Bob and Yurt Live. Hey, when we get back to the show, this is a commercial break right now. When we get back to the show, I'll ask Larry from Indy, Larry, what in the world are you talking about? We'll try to talk through his issue and figure out with the foundation of the biblical stories and laws and principles, we'll try to figure out if Larry's right in what he's saying or if he's wrong. And people listening, hopefully, they'll be able to do a better job of thinking through the issues after hearing that conversation, knowing right from wrong, figuring out how to deal with issues, not only foreign policy issues, but national, local controversies, even matters in your own, in your company, in your family, at your church, in your own life. That's what Bob and Yurt Live is all about. And it's thanks to those who appreciate the show and want to see the show stay on the air and reach more and more people that we can remain on radio and on the internet at kgov.com. Here in Denver, we need 20 people to pledge $100 a month in order to stay on into the next year. And right now we have five. We have five of the 20. We need another 15 people. And we're coming down to the wire here. We have a contract with KLT Radio where we need to give a 30-day notice. And we really do have a great need for help. So if you can help, please call us at 1-800-8-NYART. Even right after the show, I'll be here. Our staff will be here to answer the phone. 1-800-836-9278. If you can pledge $100 or more or less, whatever you can, please call. And for those of you tuning in via the internet, hey, we just had an email from Alabama, and a guy named Carl said, Bob, I've been listening to your sermons. I get the monthly sermons, and I've been listening to the Raising Cain series on raising kids, and thank you so very much. So that's, we're just excited, thrilled to hear the kind words that people give us when they listen to our audio tapes, watch the videos, read the literature, and we offer a money-back guarantee because, hey, we want to be supported, but only by people who appreciate and want to continue to benefit from this ministry. So give us a call, 1-800-8-NYART. You might want to sign up for the monthly sermons, the Bible study, the albums, or the Best of Bob series. All right, here we are, Bob Enyart, 1-800-836-9278. Now, Larry said we cheer for our murderers also in this country. America, we have an extremely corrupt culture in almost every way. Our country is very corrupt. But I want to see specifically what Larry's talking about, and then we'll weigh it and try to determine if he's right or wrong. So, Larry, what are you referring to?
What I'm referring to is that when we send our warriors off to kill or be killed, and they come back victorious, we cheer for them, regardless of the cause. Any culture is going to do this.
All right. Hey, Larry.
I have one question
Larry,
you, Bob.
Hold on. Larry, I want to talk about what you just said, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's think of a war where one side is in the right and the other side is in the wrong.
Well, whoever's right has got God on his side, or supposedly.
Well, let's talk about a war where one side is right and one side is wrong.
Okay.
Do you want to give an example? Or
give your example.
Okay, let's say World War II with the Nazis.
Now, are you thoroughly informed on what caused that war?
I'm sufficiently informed to know that Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, the German army, they were the aggressors, they were evil, and they deserved to be destroyed.
Did Hitler offer the Jews a chance to escape?
That's beside the point. Larry, stick to the point, or I might have to hang up on you for being a fool. All right, so in a war like that, if the British are sending bombers to Germany, and they successfully blow up some German factories, and the Brits cheer the news, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
And if the Nazis are bombing London and some of the Germans cheer, then that's a bad thing.
That's a good thing.
No, it's bad.
How you figure, Bob?
The aggressor, the side in a war, the side that is in the wrong.
Now, you know there's the old saying, all's fair in love and war.
Larry, you are a fool.
Can I ask you a question before you hang up?
Go ahead. I'll probably hang up on you after I hear
it.
Okay, now
this is a question and a statement, too. Didst thou forget that man prefers peace and even death to the to freedom of choice in the knowledge of good and evil? That means that man would not want to know the truth and would not want to have freedom of choice. That's why he wants to have a dictator, and that's why we got one now.
All right. So I just hung up on Larry. I'm not a fan of our government. I'm not a big fan of George W. Bush. But I'm not a fan of Larry at all, whoever Larry is. For Larry to say, to just brush off my question on significant moral issue of right and wrong in war, and say all is fair in love and war. What a stupid thing to say. What a stupid and ignorant thing to say. And Larry obviously has a passion for right and wrong, but for whatever is motivating him to try to blur the distinction between right and wrong in a matter so serious as warfare is absurd. And Larry, you obviously have a desire to know right and wrong, but you're very immature, you're very ignorant, and you are a fool. And what I suggest to cure you, what I suggest is you find a church near your home where it's a Bible-believing church. They believe in Jesus Christ, that he died and he rose from the dead, that someday he's coming back. They believe that evolution is a lie, that abortion is wrong and homosexuality is wrong. Find a basic, fundamental, Bible-believing church and then attend that church for a few years and keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Listen to the pastor. Listen to the sermons. Read your Bible and learn and grow, because you've become an adult. And all this to this point in your life, you are still a fool and you need help. Let's go to Nashville, Tennessee. Robert, speak your mind.
Hey, Robert.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to apologize for my actions on Friday.
Okay, Robert.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah, I recall you calling in.
Yeah, I called you a bully and all kinds of names.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to apologize.
All right, I appreciate you calling back, Robert. All right.
Excuse me, Matt. I first learned of you back in 1996.
Yeah.
When you were on TV, I initially hated you for about 30 minutes.
You what?
I initially hated you for about 30 minutes.
You hated me at first?
For about 30 minutes.
Okay, that's not a long time.
No, it's not.
I can deal with that.
Well.
And then what happened?
Well, I finally realized what was going on, and it's been a while. And even though you're gruff, at some points, you know, Christ was gruff, and people don't realize that Jesus is not a wimp.
Yeah, Jesus is not a wimp. That's right. And neither were the
exactly
apostles
right.
and the prophets.
He wasn't born, according to TBN, in a Cadillac wearing a designer robe. Okay.
That's true also. He was not. Hey, Robert, I want to to call in and apologize, that's a dramatic step. Why did you behave the way you did Friday night?
Well, there were circumstances at hand. I was angry about particular circumstances, and it was not coherent, so to speak, at the time.
Yeah, was I right when
yes,
I thought you were drinking?
Leave it alone.
Yeah, you know what? The guys here in the studio, they were telling me, Bob, you were wrong. And I said, no, I didn't think I was wrong. But
you
all right.
Wrong.
Well, Robert, hey, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, drunkenness, it causes all kinds of trouble because we lose control of our faculties to some extent.
Well, it says in Ephesians, do not drink in excess.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Robert, thank you very much for calling in. And you're a Christian?
Yes, sir.
And are you struggling in your Christian life?
Very much so.
Well, can we do this? Can I put you on hold? We'll get your address, and I'd like to send you something specifically designed for Christians to help us Christians deal with the temptations in life.
Okay. Can I say one more thing, buddy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I have been struggling, and as a Kirk, one of your subscribers to your Yahoo Mail program,
yeah,
will testify to this, that, you know, I've been struggling quite a while, and that I first realized back in 1993 that TBN, and I kind of renamed it the Balaam Network,
yeah,
and whether I got that from somewhere else or whether I made it up is regardless. A buddy of mine went to a seminar from Benny Hinn when he first got divorced, and Benny Hinn pushed him and had his guards escort him out to the yard to where the man was so depressed, he shot himself.
Oh.
This was back in 1993.
Well, that's...
It was in the Orlando paper.
Well, that's
back when I lived in Florida.
Robert, that's a tragic story.
It's a very tragic story.
Yeah, but we don't know all the details. And, you know, I've done some writing that touches on, certain different ministries, and we have a manuscript called The Plot that deals with various different approaches to Christian ministry. If you ever get around to reading that, let me know. But I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to get your address if you'd like to give it to us on line two there, and we will and we'll mail you the Tree album from our seminar, The Tree, on the Christian life and how to deal with temptation. Okay, now let's go to the phones in Indianapolis, and Rachel, speak your mind.
Hello.
Hi, Rachel.
Hello. I just wanted to make a comment about the gentleman you just had on there, Larry.
Yeah.
Now, this is supposed to be a Christian program. Am I right?
That's right.
Okay, I'm a Christian woman as well.
Good.
And I just thought that was very offensive. If your program is to serve the purpose of people speaking their minds about certain subjects, I don't see why, being a good Christian man, that you would call someone ignorant or belittle their opinion on something.
Okay, well, what if the opinion is worth belittling?
I don't feel that anyone's opinion is worth belittling. I feel that you should be able to state your opinion on something, but
how about when the Bible
another person ignorant because...
Rachel, how about when the Bible calls people fools and ignorant and belittles their opinions?
Well, I don't think that you're a prophet or anything of the type.
No,
I'm not
a prophet. I'm a talk show host.
Okay, well, do you get off calling people ignorant or fools?
Well, I asked you a question. How about when the Bible points out...
When the Bible says that, I believe that's a prophet or someone prophesizing, someone who has authority to say something like that.
Okay, so you're admitting that some people, in fact, are fools.
I don't think that anyone is...
Well, when Jesus called people,
Rachel,
when Jesus called people fools, I would assume you'd think he was right.
Maybe he has the right to judge.
Well, that's not what I'm asking you. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, are some people fools?
Some people could be fools in your opinion, but
no, I don't mean in my opinion. I mean absolutely. Like in God's opinion, are some people fools?
Well, possibly, yes.
Who in the Bible describes certain kinds of people as fools? Do you know who it might describe as fools?
I don't think that someone who is voicing their opinion about a subject.
Well, that's not the question I asked you.
Is a fool. No, I'm sorry. I am not that up on the biblical things. No.
Okay, Rachel, that would probably help. If you knew the Bible better, then you could be you'd be on a more sure footing if you're going to criticize someone or tell them that they're wrong. The Bible says, for example, that if someone says there is no God, that person is a fool. So if you know an atheist who says there is no God, and that atheist is a fool, according to the Bible, and that fool is on his way to hell. And if you as a Christian...
You have no right to say that anyone is going to heaven or hell. You're not God.
Okay, how about someone who hates God? Is that person going to heaven?
Someone who hates God, if they say at the point that they are on the very end, and they say that they regret that, what they did and what they've said, if they at the end decide that they believe in God, I feel that they will go to heaven.
Well,
you could repent. I don't think that you can say to anyone right now, or that gentleman who was just on the phone,
remember,
is going to hell because of a statement he made right now and later on in his life.
I didn't say he is going to hell. I asked you if some people are going to hell. You believe that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Some people go to hell and some people go to heaven.
Did Jesus say that most people go to hell? Or that most people go to heaven?
Well, most people go to heaven.
That's not what Jesus said.
Well, I believe that most people go to heaven.
Well, so who's the authority? Is it Rachel or Jesus? Who should we trust?
You know what? I don't know what religion you are, but...
I'm a Christian, Rachel, and I do trust Christ's words more than yours. If you want to hang on, we'll talk through that. Bob Enyar, our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYAR. You can use that number to call in on the air, or you can call in to our resource line. And we have albums, Bible study albums, that teach through many of the books in the Bible. We have a manuscript called The Plot, an overview of the whole Bible. We have an album called God's Criminal Justice System. Everything that God says in the Bible on the issue of criminal justice, it's all compiled and summed up in this album, six audio tapes, 6 hours of teaching through what God says about criminal justice. Now, we just had Rachel hung up, huh? Rachel hung up. Let me write this down here so I remember to say it when we get back on the show. Rachel hung up. Ha! Sad. And Rachel, I wonder if she shows us the state, the current state of the Christian church. I think so. Okay. We have so many different materials to offer on the Bible, issues like predestination and free will, criminal justice, the death penalty, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did Christ rise from the dead? We have, if you're interested in science, Genesis Creation album, audio album, Genesis the Flood. We have a videotape called Mount St. Helens. Now, we didn't produce that videotape. We got that from the Institute for Creation Research. But what a great videotape on Mount St. Helens, where geologists tell us that the strata takes tens, hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years to form. Canyons take millions of years. Rivers slowly carve out canyons. And we saw it all happen at Mount St. Helens in hours, in a few days, not in millions of years. So what a great video put together by a PhD, Dr. Stephen Austin. So you can call us at 1-800-8-NYART and chat with us. If there's not someone here to answer the phone, leave your name and number. We'll call you back. You can tell us what you're interested in. We'll let you know what we have. One of our offerings that people who get it tell us they absolutely love is the Best of Bob. The Best of Bob, the eight best radio shows of the month. And there are how many shows do we do in the average month? Let's see, we have to add 365 days, 21.6 shows per month. 21.6 shows per month. So you get the best eight. So give us a call. Just got an instant message at kgovlive@aol.com. Somebody said, Bob, the Tree album, what a great choice to send to Robert in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll send that to him free of charge. Let's see. Somebody here wants to know, how can they play our previous shows? Well, our website was wiped out a while back. We don't know if it was a hacker or somebody at our hosting company who didn't know how to upgrade a server without wiping out the data. But one way or another, our website got wiped out. And so we only have the shows from the last couple months up. But you just right-click on a show, any show you want, and save as, save target as, give it a name, leave the name as it defaults, and save it to your desktop or wherever you want to put it. And then after it downloads, it'll take a while to download. It's a big file, 22 megabytes. And then do it just before you go to bed. Set it for download. Tell it to hang up when it's done downloading. And then whenever you want, click on it and you'll listen to it. It's pretty easy. Okay. Now, Rachel hung up. Rachel hung up. I wonder why she hung up. Okay. Do you see the cliches that Rachel is operating on? Right? Rachel's probably a typical pew sitter in a typical Christian church. Probably. And she doesn't have any real passion to tell people about Jesus Christ because she thinks most people are going to heaven. When Jesus Christ said that most people are going to hell. By the way, we just got another instant message at kgovlive@aol.com that the Information Radio Network has many of our shows archived also. Thank you, guys. Glad to hear that. And IRNnews.net also has low bandwidth archives and real audio. We got that on an instant message, too. So that you don't have to take as much time to download to do that. Just click on and start listening. Okay, So Rachel probably doesn't have a great desire to tell friends and family, neighbors about Jesus Christ because she thinks, well, they're going to heaven anyway. In fact, she probably thinks she's going to heaven whether or not she has turned to Jesus Christ as her Savior. She probably thinks that you could get to heaven by believing in Buddha or Muhammad or Krishna. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says that there's salvation only in the name of Jesus Christ, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father but by him. That's what Jesus Christ said. And he said, you know, a lot of people sit in pews, go to a Christian church, and they think they're going to heaven. And Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So, boy, I hope Rachel is a Christian. But if she is, what an ignorant Christian. And do you notice also the Christians who don't know the Bible, they will call up to condemn the Christian who's trying to teach people the Bible, and they'll condemn that person for telling others that they're wrong when the caller is doing the exact same thing. Now, Jesus did talk about that, actually. That's called hypocrisy. Let's go to Rochester, New York, 1-800-8-NYART. Dr. Wolf, is this that talk show host from New York?
Yes, it is, Dr. Bob. How you doing?
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, Nathaniel, he's a good man there. He knows how to take care of that phone.
Nathaniel Enyart, my son. I'm very
yes,
proud of him.
You know the lady Rachel?
Yeah.
When you're talking about, you hit it, you took it right out of my mind. They call in and they're cruel. They're cruel to you. They give you no respect. They put you down. You're not a servant of God. I mean, what's the difference of a prophet, a servant of God? We know the difference of apostles and so on. But you're a servant of God. You spend your time. You get into the Word. Now, the Bible says, by your fruits you shall know them. Well, there's one good spiritual thing, at least a name. She got a good Bible name.
Yeah, Rachel, that is a great name.
When you said ignorant, Bob, the word ignorant doesn't mean stupid or asinine or dumb. It means without knowledge. Paul said, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, that lady is totally ignorant. She, and I'm saying this in love.
Yeah.
You said, of course, reference to probably Matthew 7:13-14, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, but narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth to life, life eternal, of course, and few there be that find it.
Yeah, exactly right. Jesus Christ died on the cross for some reason. And if everybody gets to heaven, whether they reject him or not, if the vast majority of people go to heaven, then what did Christ die for? And he also rose from the dead. At least there's evidence to that effect. And we Christians look at the evidence and we say it's compelling. Jesus really rose from the dead, so it really does matter what you believe or do not believe about him.
Also, your heart is full of compassion because once you find that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6, of course you know all those verses, one of the greatest things we can do is share that truth. The Bible says, of course, as you know, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When it comes to Bob Enyart, he has Jesus Christ in him, and he has that compassion. The love of God is directed, you know, brought in his heart, and he's concerned about a Rachel or the gentleman before. And really, you don't have to be on the radio program. You could go fishing early in the evening in the summertime, or go out on a picnic. I know what it is. After 40 years of being on the radio, you got to prepare. You pray. There's a little bit of glamour and fun about it, but it's a tough job. But you don't know who's on the other end of the mic, especially if it's radio rather than television. But the compassion there, and the Bible says, and some having compassion, making a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, it seems like when one of the things that sets off liberals is if you just talk with authority about what's right and what's wrong. Mm-hmm. That makes liberals angry. How dare you state that someone is wrong or a fool, for that matter? You know, when the Bible says that the fool says in his heart there is no God, if your neighbor is a fool and you don't love him enough to tell him, to warn him, then you're not much of a neighbor.
Amen.
If your neighbor is going to hell because he rejects God, love compels people to warn their neighbors when they're destroying themselves.
And you're not really saying, of course, saying it from the Word of God, that he's stupid or dumb or a jerk when you say he's a fool.
Yeah, no, not stupid.
When you look
right.
at the prospects of heaven and hell, and a person doesn't choose to go to heaven, I mean, what a foolish thing.
Yeah, and he might have a very high Q. He may be more intelligent, more raw intellect than I have, but the
it's
smartest...
pretty hard to do, though, Bob, as I listen to you. The brain seemed to be popping out of your head and everything, but go ahead.
No, you know, I'm so open-minded, my brain's dripped out and around the floor.
I never heard it that way.
The smartest people in the world could hate God.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they do. Oftentimes they do. It takes humility, not a high IQ, but humility to admit that we're sinners, we hurt one another, and to ask God to forgive us. That takes humility. And so if my neighbor is a fool, and the guy who she was talking about, Larry, Dr. Wolf, I don't know if you heard his call, but I asked him about in warfare about right and wrong. And he was basically defending Muslims who cheered when 3,000 people were killed in New York City in the World Trade Center. He was defending them, saying, well, it's because they feel like they're at war.
Well, then why didn't Rachel criticize that
Larry.
The fact that these it isn't just that time, but they've had celebrations in a lot of these Muslim countries, when any kind of thing happens to anybody that's not a Muslim, especially if it's a terrorist attack.
Yeah, that's true. There is a celebration. You know, I went to a homosexual gathering in Boulder, Colorado, a few years back, and it was actually – we sort of infiltrated the meeting. There were a couple hundred people at this meeting, and it was being held at a Catholic church. And it was a homosexual event. And members of the church were really upset that their priest, who was seemed to be a homosexual himself, that the priest allowed this very liberal, very anti-Christian group to use their church for their meeting. And so some conservative Catholics were going to go and try to disrupt the meeting. And I went just to be an observer as a talk show host. So I was sitting in the meeting and... a guy I know by the name of Matt Noah, in fact, he ran for Senate in Colorado a few years back. He and a couple other Catholics started to disrupt the meeting. And I'd like to tell you after this break, Dr. Wolf, what happened to him and how the crowd responded right after this. NYART 1-800-836-9278. Huh, boy, these we get some really interesting instant messages here during the show. We can't possibly deal with them all on the air. But for those of you who enjoy the show, but you listen only over the web, and you'd like something a little more convenient. Well, the web is pretty convenient, but we also have something. We have something called Best of Bob, and it's for $49.95 a month. Now, it's a bit expensive, but remember, we have a money-back guarantee, and we also have twice a month. Every month, we mail out the four best shows of the previous 2 weeks. So it's $49.95 a month, and you get two mailings each month, one around the middle of the month and one at the end of the month, the beginning of the next month. And so you get eight shows total, 8 hours of material for $49.95. And the people who get it, they tell us they just absolutely love it. Because people who tune in regularly, they enjoy the show. And if you took just the best, just half of the shows, just the best half, well, that'd be a better quality programming and entertainment. Well, this isn't the best half. This is only 8 out of 22. 8 out of 22, 4 out of every 11 shows. So just over a third of the shows that we do make the cut. And if you sign up, not only will you get these mailed to you, or you can get them mailed to a friend, someone who can't tune into the show, and some people do that, but then you also help in a real big way to support Bob Inyart Live. You help us to stay on the air and continue to reach people. So we could use your help if you give us a call, and you might want the monthly album instead, the Bible study album. For $34.95 a month, once a month, we mail you a Bible study album. You might want that. Or you might want the monthly sermons for $24.95 a month. Whatever it is, if there's anything you think you'd enjoy, please give us a call, and that'll help us stay on the air. So we have Dr. Wolf, Reverend Wolf from Rochester, New York. And, Doctor, thank you very much for the honor of having you call into the show.
Well, you know, Bob, you're going to say something, and I want to be sure and hear what you just said, but I was thinking during the break,
yeah.
Rachel, you know, if she only – first of all, there were no signs of salvation, of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Mm. There was an objection to what Jesus said in his word, let alone – the attack on you as a servant of God.
Right.
But our compassion is that Rachel will receive Jesus as her personal Savior. Mm. And if thine eye be single, thy whole body will be filled with light. And she, you know, playing on a word a little bit, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see.
Cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
And so if, you know, when Jesus said most people are going to hell, and very few are humble enough to ask God to forgive them of their sins and to trust Jesus Christ and Him alone for their salvation, she doesn't seem to care what Jesus said. Her own opinion seems to trump the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows that's why there is a hell.
Yeah.
Because men hurt one another, and we hurt ourselves.
Yeah.
That's what sin is.
Yes.
And God made us to live forever. He put eternity in our hearts. So if we're not humble enough to realize that God is smarter than we are, then we're going to go on forever hurting other people. And those people can live forever in hell. And those who humble themselves and say, God, please forgive me. Please make a new work in me. Those people God can work with, and they get to live in heaven. That's the difference between the two.
Do you think when she was calling, she realized, Bob, that she was not helping Larry or anyone else? And when we talk about Christianity, oh, my goodness, you could do a show or a week on the different Christianities there are, and the nominal Christianity, the ones that name the name, because Christianity is Christ once, and never have really accepted Him as Savior and Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And how could she be helping even that person get to heaven? She thinks, because she thinks most people go to heaven, that that's going to settle it.
Right.
Bob, I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, thank
God bless
you very
much.
We love
you up here. And
thank you, Dr. Wolf.
God will provide all of your needs, and God bless you and your family, all your kids. And my son has 7 children, and also your church and your ministry.
Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
God bless you. Appreciate your call. And, yeah, I wanted to let Dr. Wolf and the audience know about my friend, Matt Noah, who ran for Senate some years ago in Colorado, and there was a homosexual meeting at a Roman Catholic church in Boulder, Colorado. And so some Roman Catholics, conservative Catholics, were going to go to try to disrupt the meeting because homosexuality is wrong. And the Catholic Church has a position against homosexuality, even though so many of their seminaries promote homosexuality, but that's another matter. But so they were upset that this one priest had invited homosexuals into their church, and they were going to start praying in the middle of the meeting. So I thought, well, some people have to pay to see entertainment like this, so I'm going to go to the meeting and see firsthand what in the world happens. So I went to the meeting, and I was doing a radio show at the time. I wasn't recognized. And so I just sat in among a couple hundred people. And sure enough, a couple guys and a couple women in the middle of the meeting started praying. Our Father who art in heaven, they're quoting Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. So, okay, they're praying the Lord's Prayer. And the homosexuals, they had the police nearby. And the police rushed in and started to drag out Matt Noah. And Matt just went limp, like nonviolent civil disobedience. He just went limp, and so they're dragging him out of the room, and they got him out of the room and into a hallway, and I could tell what happened just from hearing it and seeing things like this in the past. They used basically compliance techniques, like pain compliance, whatever, twisting your arm behind your back, or to try to get him to stand up and walk because he didn't want to walk. And when they did what they did, he let out a blood-curdling scream. Like he was in pain, and boy, did he scream. And the interesting thing in that was the instantaneous response of the crowd of homosexuals. They erupted into cheers and applause. With this very disturbing scream. It was a scream like a scream in agony, a man screaming in agony. And I've been to, hundreds of events from conservative, pro-life, Christian, right-wing events. And we've had plenty of events where there were protesters of the opposite persuasion or orientation. And there is no way that kind of response would come from a group of pro-lifers if some pro-abort was suddenly hurt and in pain and screaming out. That wouldn't come from the group of Christian pro-lifers. It just would not. So, but it came from the beautiful people. But on the other hand, and it's interesting to... and we could tie that in also with Larry's comment about all is fair in love and war. That's not true. It's not true. And there are people in this country that we have these extreme disagreements with, but would it be fair just to target them like terrorists do? Would that be fair? No, of course that wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be right. If you have a hard time sorting out foreign policy, simplify it. And instead of different countries and Palestinians and Jews, think of it as a few families on a otherwise deserted island. And the one family, the father in the one family, is a murderer. And he's hurting and even killing kids in other families. And so would the men in the other families have the right to stop that father and even kill him? Would they have that right in that circumstance? Yes, they would. Would they have the right to, in order to avenge their children, to target this guy's kids and intentionally kill his kids? No, they would not have that right. You see, that's the difference between right and wrong. But for some reason, Larry felt a desire to blur the distinction between right and wrong when he said that the Nazis would have been right for cheering their side killing Frenchmen and English women and children. No, the Nazis would not have been right in that circumstance. That would be wrong because they were on the wrong side. whereas the British would be right for cheering bombs falling on Berlin. They would be right for cheering those bombs. That would be right. All right. Hey, our phone number, 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Got an email here from Fred. Fred. Hey, Bob, just wanted to drop you a line expressing my view of that John Lofton fellow. Now, for those of you who listened to the show last week, John Lofton, he was an advisor to Pat Buchanan's presidential campaign, longtime conservative journalist. And he said, I was listening to one of your last programs from your website, kgov.com, and I heard someone call up and tell you that Lofton beat you in the debate. Well, I just wanted to tell you, in case no one else has, that you cleaned that guy's clock. Well, of course, the knucklehead who called in. Hey, wait a minute. Who was that that called in? That wasn't Robert, was it? Who just called in to apologize? It was someone. It was that program. Friday night. I forget if it was Robert or not. But it was one of the last two callers. Robert was one of those last two callers. But of course, the debate with John Lofton, of course, he lost the debate. John Lofton did. And he's, okay, this email goes on to say that John Lofton ended up defending terrorists. And he even accused Israel, if theoretically they defended themselves against guilty terrorists. He's still accusing Israel. So it shows, of course, his bias. And of course it does. It's so important to know right from wrong. Let's see. Thanks for the good work, Bob, in exposing these guys. Hey, by the way, did you know that you have been the number one person of shame on the website shame.org for some time now? What did you do to upset those guys? Why have they been especially after you in the last few weeks? Did I miss something that you recently did? No, shame.org. I have no idea, Fred. I don't know. They're just mad at me. Hey, 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. I'd like to invite those of you who live in the Denver area to come to visit us at Denver Bible Church. We had Tim this week from Denver Bible Church with his son come and visit and really enjoyed meeting them. All right, we just had a caller call in. If you call someone a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. And, of course, it says that in the Sermon on the Mount. We've talked about that extensively. Tell the caller that if they want to talk about it, they could call in and talk about it. But if they're afraid to talk about it, then I'm not going to respond to it again unless someone wants to actually talk about it. Now, some Christians are so, you know, they don't know what to make of simple statements in the Bible. They get so confused. They think it's a mortal sin to call someone a fool when David called people fools, Jesus called people fools, the Apostle Paul called people fools, even friends of his. And if you're a fool, you're a fool, and somebody better tell you, because a fool's not likely to figure out he's a fool on his own. That's why Jesus called people fools, and you're not much of a loving neighbor if you don't tell a fool he's a fool. So if the Bible confuses you when you read it, get a good Bible teacher. If you think calling someone as a fool is one of the greatest dangers in life, then you need a good Bible teacher. Hey, got an instant message here. I ordered the plot, and I've been reading it. It's great. Oh, thank you so much. That instant message. Hey, this is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.